begin.
Again, it's not going to begin, it begins. So how does this journey begin connect to last year's theme? Remember, God is a God of pattern, and He always builds upon the previous month. Now, what's different about this one? It is a new month, but it's really the culmination of all 12. So all 12, we were looking at, what was it about? We were looking at, again, new life. New life. All right, so what is it the Spirit wants to do with us on this journey is He wants to take us places that require we already have new life. So the thing we want to start looking at, He's not trying to give me the new life. He's already, given me the new life. Now it's that life that's going to propel me on the journey.
On the new journey.
All right, so we're going to look at month 10. What did Tibet teach us? It taught me that new life decisions must be the source of my new journeys. Again, I have to reiterate this. You cannot get a new journey and you're still making the same old decisions. And that's what, as a pastor, I can tell you, people do all the time. They keep making the same decisions. They keep making the same mistakes. And what did Einstein say about that? He told you, he said, if you keep doing the same thing and you expect a different result,
that's insanity.
That's insanity. So one of the things that believers like to do is they like to think through prayer they're going to change God's mind when they're planting the same seeds. They're doing the same thing, so they're going to always get the same result. So I got to understand it. Month 11, what does Shabbat teach me? It taught me that new journeys require I have new discernment. So in other words, what am I looking at? Is I'm not just looking at the decisions. I'm looking at my discernment of, as to what's going on around me, what's happening in my life. Month 12, Adar taught me new discernments demand I be what? Sanctify
my journey.
In other words, if this journey is not special to me, then why would I think is going to be special to God? Now, what do people do? They value the wrong things. Well, valuing the wrong things is the same way as saying sanctifying. So on this trip, if this trip is not special to me, at the end of the year, what can I count on for sure? I'm going to be back exactly in the same situation I'm in.
Amen.
And that's what happens to us all the time. We make the same decision, we don't value. So this year, what has to be different is I have to value this new year. I have to look at different things that are going to happen in my life, and I have to value them to the point that they become special to me. So we're going to see some other things about that in just a little bit. So, where does understanding the journey begins begin this month? With realizing sanctifying my journey yields to a submission to Adonai as my Redeemer. Okay, real quick. Once you get saved, you tend not to think about Jesus as a Redeemer. You tend not to think about Jesus as a Redeemer. You tend to always remember that He is what? A Savior, but you forget that He's a Redeemer. That's going to play into what we're talking about, where we're going, and it's an essential part of this, if you will, this journey. All right, so the Hebrew word for Redeemer is Goel. Now, what should you realize about the Hebrew Goel? It's also known as, and this is what we as Christians, we know it as one of my close relatives. So a Goel is not your friend. A Goel is what? No, what's a Goel? Read your hand up. On the Goel, look, I got to understand.
It's a relative.
A Goel is not my friend. A Goel is
a relative.
My relative. But not
who rests.
A relative is one of my what?
Close
so relative. I have to see that this Goel is a close relative that has a blood connection with me. And there's something else about that which we're going to add that most people never talk about. is that we do not have, in American culture, we do not have a goel. So what did the goel do? He would buy back what? Come on, people. What would he buy back? The inheritance. So I'm saying it's their inheritance. It's not the goel's inheritance. It's the person who forfeited inheritance. Now he would buy it back, and you got to see why God did that. He kept it in the family because if it got out, then generationally, they could never get it back. So the goel, even though it wasn't their inheritance, it was their close relative's inheritance, and so they bought it back. So what could a family, a poor family, what could they know about their generations? What could they know? Listen, they knew that in 50 years max, their jubilee, their family would get their inheritance back, so their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids would have an inheritance. So I have to see. So that goel wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it for his close relatives, generations, so that they could now get back what was rightfully theirs that they lost due to poverty.
Amen.
Number two, what could he do? And see, let's listen to what Boaz did for Naomi. Free. He would ransom his kinsmen in bondage to a foreigner. See, so the first thing is he purchased it back because of poverty, but then he would ransom because sometimes a person would be so poor that they would have to basically submit themselves as slaves to a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's read.
Leviticus 25:47 through 48. If a foreigner living with you has grown rich, and a member of your people has become poor and sells himself to this foreigner living with you or to a member of the foreigner's family, he may be redeemed after he has been sold. One of his brothers may redeem him.
See, so the important thing that we got to realize about the ransom is this. Now he went to one of his brothers. See, so watch what that is. So in other words, we as believers, we should understand that there's no way someone that's our brother, a family member, should be in poverty because somebody in there should be a goel. Because they're a part of that person. Third thing, what could he do? Avenge the death of a slain kinsman as a point of honor. So let's read Numbers 35.
Numbers 35, 20 to 21. Likewise, if he shoves him out of hatred or intentionally throws something at him, causing his death, or out of hostility, strikes him with his hand so that he dies, then the one who struck him must be put to death. He is a murderer, and the next of kin avenger is to put the murderer to death upon meeting him.
See, so look what God did back then. He said that, okay, if you kill someone intentionally, so if you read further, or if you kill him accidentally, but you was angry with him. So God didn't make a distinction. If you did it intentionally or you did it unintentionally, but you were angry with him. So watch what God said. Because your motive was anger, then God said, now it's the right and responsibility of the goel. They can now avenge your honor. Now watch. If we had a legal system where those people who did that died, we wouldn't be having all the crime that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
Because for God, he looks at if you're angry, it no longer matters what your motive is, because if you're angry, you're supposed to not sin.
Amen.
So if you do sin when you're angry, then because there were no courts out there, they were all spread out, it was the avenger's job, but his job was to make sure there is So how does this apply to me this year? So on this journey we're on now, what's different about it? My Adonai wants to work out some things in me before he restores some things to me.
Amen.
See, so remember, the Goel, he's a redeemer. He's going to bring back self to you. But on this journey, what is God having to do first now? Now, see, he can't restore me. He got to do some things first. He has to fix me.
Amen.
See, because by the end of the year, it's not everybody who's doing stuff to me. It's stuff I'm doing to myself.
Amen.
I'm hurting myself. Mm-hmm. I'm interfering with God myself. So to go on a new journey, I got to let God take me to places to where, what's he going to do? He's going to work out things
in me.
So, in nature, how do you get something out of almost anything? You heat it up. I don't have to use pressure now. I can use pressure later. I have to always
heat it up.
Heat it up. I got to use fire. So on this journey, what did God do when he took Israel out of Egypt? Remember, what was Egypt always saying? Our problem is Pharaoh. But once they got delivered from Pharaoh, you saw Pharaoh wasn't their real problem.
Mm-mm, it was them.
The real problem was what was in them, and that's why they were on the journey. So to get, what would have been the big point? The promised land.
Amen.
God had to take them through the desert to boil their things out of them that would have made them not value the promised land. And they would have gave it away.
Amen.
And that's what happens to people when they get things they have no value. They give them away. All right. So, again, what does he want to do? He want to work out some things
in me.
In me, so he can restore some things to
me. Amen.
So let's read Hebrews.
Hebrews 2:14-15. Therefore, since the children share a common physical nature as human beings, he became like them and shared the same human nature, so that by his death he might render ineffective the one who had power over death, that is, the adversary, and thus set free those who had been in bondage all their lives because of their fear of death.
All right, amen. So here's Jesus now. Look at what he did. Again, you see him as the Redeemer. All right, what were we in? Bondage. All right, so what do believers to today continually keep doing? We keep getting in bondage to the same thing.
Yes.
So if I'm continually getting bound by sin, I'm continually needing to be redeemed from sin.
Amen.
So what has the enemy successfully done with churches? He doesn't give you opportunity to repent. So what does that mean when you can't repent or you don't repent? You're still in bondage to sin. And so now the part of your salvation that God has made available to you to be redeemed again. Because get this straight. People that basically became slaves because of poverty, they didn't do that once in a lifetime. They tend to do it that regularly. So I want to see, Jesus, was he my redeemer?
Yes.
Yes. Is he my redeemer?
Yes.
Because I still get in bondage to sin. Now, we don't have a problem saying I still sin. We have a problem saying I get in bondage to sin. Well, let me show you an example of bondage to sin. You keep repeating the same negative, destructive habit. That's bondage. See, we don't tend to think of it that way. If I keep doing a thing I know is wrong, but I keep say this, I got Jesus. That's true, you got Jesus. No, what's true is Jesus got you. So you got to realize I still need to be delivered if I'm in bondage. All right. So let's break the bondage. So where does understanding this journey begin? It continues. With realizing my Redeemer, my Deliverer's plan, this year involves a specific ministry. Now, this is what's different about this year. This is what's different about this journey, is I'm going to share some things with you the Spirit has given so that you realize this year, last year, was the ending of an era worldwide. It's the ending of an era. That's why you notice what's different about this virus. It's hitting everywhere because it is the beginning of a new era.
Amen.
So let's look at this era that ended. What's the specific ministry? What is it specifically that God is raising people up like us to do this year on the journey? So let's watch again. What happened last year? What was yesterday? I just told you, what was yesterday?
It was the end of an era.
Today is the beginning of a new era. So you need to understand this journey in this new era is going to take us places you've never been, but you absolutely have to go because nothing is the same anymore.
Amen.
First thing, so what this specific ministry to, that word is prepare. To prepare men for the ending of Gentile conversion. What does that mean? Why specifically? The Bible teaches you about the age of the Gentiles. So in that age of the Gentiles, salvation was being granted to Gentile believers, Gentiles to become spiritual Israel. Now I have to understand, I have to understand that age has a finite end. So one, what am I preparing people for?
Conversion.
There's an ending. Let's read Japan. There's an ending. In other words, a time is coming when no more people who are non-Jewish will be saved.
Mm.
That time is coming. Two, there's a beginning of Israelite conversion. In other words, you now want to start seeing the Spirit work on natural Jews to make them spiritual Jews. So one is ending and the other one's beginning. So I have to see, how is that going to affect you and I? So let's look at it. Why? Because natural Israel needs the heart veil removed to prepare for Yeshua's arrival.
Amen.
So one of the consequences of them rejecting the Messiah was that the Father put a veil over their heart so that now it's very difficult for them to believe. That was their punishment. Because they said, let his blood be on our hands and our children. So that blood, that consequence was, there's a veil. But I got to read this. So watch what he says.
2 Corinthians 3:15 through 16. Yes, till today, whenever Moshe is read, a veil lies over their heart. But, says the Torah, whenever someone turns to Adonai, the veil is taken away.
So it's important to understand, it doesn't mean that individual natural Jews have not become spiritual Jews. We know that because what are they called? Messianic. Is that as a whole, his people have that veil on and they haven't turned to him like they did when it was Moshe. So there's a veil there. All right. So let's keep going. All right. But I got to understand, this Redeemer, Deliverer is going to Because what's ending?
This era.
The age of the Gentiles is ending. What's beginning?
The veil.
What? The age of the Jew. Right. The veil is being lifted. And so there are, if you will, God took the select group of people, and I want you to really pay attention to them. This select group of people, because you and I, for the most part, we cannot witness or be a witness to a natural Jew.
Amen.
Which is the same reason why they can't be a witness to a Gentile. See, if you look at the apostles, who had the biggest impact on Gentiles? And you realize it was not Peter, it was not John, it was not James, it was Shaul, it was Paul. Because Paul grew up with them.
Amen.
He was versed in their lifestyle, he knew their ways, and he spoke their
language. Amen.
So what does it have to do with you and I? We got to understand. So during this journey this year, God's going to be using us to close some doors on some other people. Now, what does that mean? This is going to sound harsh, but it's not. I'm just telling you prophetically what it means. What it means is this upcoming year, God is going to have you minister to people that this will be their last year of life. They either now will go into the kingdom of light or they will go to the kingdom of darkness. He's going to have you witness or be a witness to people who have been on the fence. They haven't been able to make up their mind what the Spirit is going to push them.
Amen.
He's going to minister, have you be a witness to and minister to people that Jesus has said, I wish you were hot or you were cold. But since you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you. In other words, you're going to be God's witness when he spews them into this world.
Amen.
And they go back to say, why are these things happening? And you're going to say, because you never made that decision.
Amen.
So let's watch the 144,000.
Revelation 2:7-4. I saw another angel coming up from the east with a seal from the living God, and he shouted to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. I heard how many were sealed. 144,000 from every tribe of the people of Israel.
So it's very important that you see how deep is this into the 7 years. Right. See, so I got to understand deep into, or in other words, what is the first 3 years of what a lot of people call the tribulation? What is it really called in the Bible? It's called Jacob's trouble. There is no 7 year tribulation period. There's a 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble, and there's a 3.5 years of the wrath of God. So Scripture says that God has not appointed us to wrath, but the 7 years is not all wrath. What's wrath is only the last 3.5 years. So you've got to understand why you're important is because the first 3.5 years is Jacob's trouble. In other words, the Lord is going to allow the enemy during the 3.5 years to chastise his people to bring them hot or cold. Now, it's important to look at these 144,000. One, they are not Gentiles.
Amen.
Two, they are Jews. So you already know where those 144,000, what's going to be their focus? Jerusalem. Now, I want you to please pay attention to something. Look at that scripture. These 144,000 are not going to be like the two. Remember the two witnesses that brought all that stuff on people that they were happy when they died and they got resurrected. These 144,000 don't get martyred. What does the word read? What does the word say they got? Sealed.
They were sealed.
Now please notice. In there he says this angel, there's four angels who can harm land and sea. people that they are ministering to are here.
Amen.
See, so I got to see that there's a lie being told that I'm going to be taken before this stuff happens, when the truth is I'm going to be here when it happens. So let's look at that. But what did the Lord do to Israel when the plagues were all around them? He sealed them. So what is God going to do? He's going to seal some, but he clearly says some are going to be martyred. Some are going to prison. So I have to understand, I can't be a martyr if I'm gone. I have to be here to be thrown in prison. Because there's a pattern. God doesn't deliver you from, he delivers you out of. See, if God delivered us from, then Noah would have never needed the boat.
Amen.
So, let's keep that in mind. So, how does this apply to me? With that seal, they had divine protection. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so what do we want to look at? How does this apply to me this year? So that's what I want to look at. On this journey, remember, on the first part, what did we learn? How does this apply to me? The Lord wants me, he wants to work out some things in me so he can restore some things to me.
Amen.
Now, this part of the journey, watch what he wants to see. On this journey, my Adonai wants me to warn, W-A-R-N, warn. Warn untaught Christians, the anti-Messiah arise before Yeshua. So in other words, our job is going to be to warn Christians that the true Messiah, Jesus, is not coming first, he's coming second. So what's different about this job is what are most believers taught? What are most believers thinking?
They're going to be gone.
They're going to be gone. Because God is such a good God, and he's also not doing anything without a witness. Who does he have for Israel? The 144,000. Who does he have for Christians?
Us. Amen.
We're his witnesses. So it's our job to let them know, don't count on being raptured before you see the Antichrist, because the truth is, Jesus warned you that the Antichrist is going to come first. And he told you not to believe. Two, we have to assist in the budding remnant Christians becoming messianic sheep. So what is God beginning to do? He's taking things back to the way things were. What was the first church? They were messianic believers. So what is going to happen as we get nearer to the end? More messianic. Because watch again, what does natural Israel or Judaism have to become? Messianic.
Amen.
See, so you and I have to understand, if that's what the end is, then that means that we're going back to that. And it's our job to understand that God, just like he got the 144,000, God has people who are Christians that don't know the truth is messianic. And they are who we call the budding remnant. In other words, they are people who will be your offspring, who because of what you are and what you've done and what you've been, what's it going to do? See, watch again. What's it going to do? I want you to see it. So, I want you to catch it. All right, look how long we had to go to get to this point. Yeah. It took us 20-something years. Jeez. They don't have 20-something years. Mm. So the people God is going to have you interact with, they are future remnant. They just don't know that they're remnant.
Amen.
They don't know the reason why they have a problem with church. They don't know why they have a problem with Easter and they have a problem with these pagan holidays. They don't know why they have a problem with people saying the the ones who gently guide them to the place that in their heart that they're seeking. Not here, but into Messianic Christianity. In other words, them realizing the reason you're bothered is because your spirit will not allow your soul to be at peace doing what you know is not right. So let's see where that's going to take us. Two, what has to happen there? This ministry is to teach me to be aware of his spiritual, not natural, Torah framework as a messianic.
Amen.
So in other words, he doesn't want us or them to go back into what natural Israel's doing. It's put them in bondage because they haven't even been able to believe in the true Messiah. So we can't be sending people back to that. Here's where you come in. So now, watch what he says. Very important, though, James.
James 1:25. But if a person looks closely into the perfect Torah, which gives freedom and continues, becoming not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work it requires, then he will be blessed in what he does.
See, so notice what you never, when people talk to you about God's Torah, almost all of them talk about bondage. This puts me in bondage. Now watch what he said. But in the spiritual Torah, it gives what?
Freedom.
See, so what is the Lord wanting to do to these people that's in bondage? He wants to free them. Now watch what you just saw. So what frees them is his spirit using a spiritual Torah. So where you come in is you are his transition from the way it was to the way it will be.
Amen.
So I have to see that they need tricks, they need extra offerings, they doing all this other stuff. Watch, I want you to see. They keep telling people, if you do this, you will be blessed. But what does Scripture just tell you? Watch, back up some. If you stop being a forgetful hearer.
Amen.
See, so watch where your job is. You're going to see God's going to use you to bring people back to the Word, because most people that go to church don't know the Word. So I got to understand that means I'm not trying to bring them to my church. I'm trying to bring them back to his Word, and then his Spirit will direct them where they need to go. But if they don't ever get back to his Word, then the reality is, no matter how much they pray, no matter how much we pray, they will remain in bondage.
Amen.
So I got to know that Word and now stop sharing church or little tidbits, and I got to just get back with them in the Word. This is why your commission, what does he require of you? Matthew 28:19. This is why you went to DIT. This is why you train, is so that you can lead others back into that Word, back into a relationship with him, and away from just being a church participant. Let's watch. So how does this apply to me this year? On this journey, my Adonai wants me to boldly live the precepts of his spiritual Torah before all men, especially whom?
Christians.
Right.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you think I'm in bondage, because I know I'm actually free. Third thing, prepare me, teach me, and now to seek his presence. Behold the glory of his face and permanently be changed.
Amen.
See, here's the reality. If you've seen the glorified Jesus, you'll never be the same. So let's watch where he takes us.
2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us, with faces unveiled, see as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being changed into his very image, from one degree of glory to the next, by Adonai the Spirit.
Now this one is really, really deep. I'm going to show you something the Spirit opened up to me, to open up to you.
Amen.
So please read this carefully. Go slow. So all of us with faces what?
Unveiled.
Unveiled. Now very important. See as in a mirror
the glory of the Lord.
So I got to realize I'm seeing the glory of the Lord not directly. I'm seeing it indirectly. So here's my question. If I'm seeing it in a mirror, then that means I'm actually seeing myself.
Amen.
A reflection of myself.
Amen. Right.
So the glory of the Lord is not something I'm looking out there. The glory of the Lord is something
in me.
That's in
me. Amen.
So as I'm being changed, I'm seeing his glory being revealed more and more because I'm seeing I'm becoming like him. So this is why I can't be a Christian, because a Christian means Christ-like. No, I have the spirit of him in me. I am a child of God, not
Amen.
A future child of God.
I am.
I'm not a wannabe.
I am.
So let's watch it. And we are being what?
Changed
into his very
image.
So in this journey, I'm going to see some serious changes in me because I'm his witness. I'm not his student. See, if I'm his student, I'm not going to see these changes. But if I'm his witness, I will see these changes. But he's going to take us even deeper. No. Why something we never talk about? Moshe did not always wear the veil. Anytime you watch a movie about Moses, anytime you hear him talk about Moses, they tell you about the veil that he wore because the glory was on his face, right? So he wore his glory. He wore his veil all the time. No, he didn't. See, the Lord wouldn't let him wear that veil when he approached him.
Amen.
So watch where that's going to take us on this journey.
Exodus 34, 32-35. Afterwards, all the people of Israel came near, and he passed on to them all the orders that Adonai had told him on Mount Sinai. Once Moshe had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when he went in before Adonai for him to speak, he would take the veil off until he came out. Then, when he came out, he would tell the people of Israel what he had been ordered.
So now let's notice what's different.
Amen.
Now notice, when he was dealing with the people, what did he have on?
The veil.
He had a veil. All right, come on. Mm-hmm. But when he went before the Lord, what did he have to do?
Take it off.
He had to take it off. All right, so let's get in. How does this apply to me? My wife's getting excited. I already know where she's going because she already got it. How does this apply to me this year? On this journey, my Adonai wants me to remove my fleshly soul veil and meet him face to face to deal with the
real
me.
Amen.
See, in other words, I got to take this mask off that I've been having, that I've been wearing, and I got to get before God, and this is the real me. This is who I am. Now let's deal with it. Because we do have a mask on, don't we?
Amen.
In public. Yes, we do. We wear that mask, that little religious mask. But on this journey, you can't wear that mask. You got to take it off. You got to stop being fake. You got to be real. Where does understanding the journey begins in this month? With rejoicing in the fulfillment of my Redeemer's, Deliverer's promises along the way. Now watch this in Jeremiah. We're in captivity, but watch the promise.
Jeremiah 16:21. Therefore, I will make them know once and for all, I will make them know my power and my might. Then they will know that my name is Adonai Yahweh.
In other words, right, that word there is Yahweh. That
Amen.
They will know.
Amen.
All right, so how does this apply to me this year? On this journey, now, he wants me to cooperate with him as he confirms and completes his good work in me. See, on this next year, what did Jesus say? That we're not just an heir, we're a joint heir. So in other words, you and I have a joint responsibility to fulfill the work of the kingdom. So on this, I have to be confirmed. Now here's the other thing. That confirmation is what lets the public know that you are his.
Amen.
Let's read it.
Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that the one who began a good work among you will keep it growing until it is completed on the day of the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
So has he done a good work?
Yes.
So what's different now this upcoming year? What's different on this journey? You see, now this is the work part.
Amen.
You in the training, the learning part. Now it's the work part. First 2 years, Jesus was walking with them. He was training them. The
Amen.
Third year, he was supervising them. What have you heard me say these last 2 years? I have to get out of doing it, and y'all got to begin to do
Amen.
It. Because now is the time.
Amen.
Let's go even, like I said, go a little bit deeper. So what should I already know about the first month of a meeting? All right. It's a month of notable deaths and events. So watch what has happened historically in this month. One, it was the death of Aaron's two sons for offering strange fire. That happened in this month. Two, it was also Miriam's death. Also, Joshua died. So I want you to catch something. Each one of those, let's take Miriam and let's take Joshua. When they died, what did it necessitate? A new
order.
Because watch. After Moses, who was it?
Joshua.
But after Joshua, who was it?
It
was a whole new order.
A whole new order.
It was the judges. See, so I got to understand. So there was an error that ended when Joshua died, and that error was this one man was the thing who represented. So you got to understand what you know as a typical pastoral ministry is ceasing this year. You have to be in the team ministry.
Amen.
Because that age is over. Who was Miriam?
Moses' sister.
He Moses? No. But what? She was Israel's prophet.
Yes, she was.
But after she died, there no longer was one Israel's prophet.
No, it's multiple.
So y'all understand what the Spirit is trying to tell you? Is this year, it's not this one here or this one there. No, everything has changed.
Amen.
Yeah, everything is changed. We got to get busy. What else happened during that month? Noah's Ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. What else happened during this month? The Ark was put into the tent for the first time. What else happened? Israel eats in the Promised Land for
the first time.
What else happened this month? Ezra keeps Pesach in the Promised Land for the first time after their captivity. So you should be picking something up. And this month is not just the beginning, it's an actual ending of errors.
Amen.
Beginning of new errors, new things. But this month is also linked to Yehuda, to Judah, and foreshadows Yeshua.
Amen.
So what does the Father want me to remember about this first month? Aviv is not properly a name of a month, but a phrase noting the month of young ears of barley.
Amen.
This month wasn't called Nisan until after the captivity. Now watch the difference in focus between Aviv and Nisan. Nisan focuses on God's miracles. Aviv focuses on barley provision. Or God's provision. Do it again. Nisan focuses on what? Miracles. What did they need when they were in captivity? See, no, they needed the miracle. But what was the name originally? Aviv, which meant the month of God's provision. So watch, because this is deep, and a lot of people missed it. God created barley to grow like a weed. So it grew everywhere. So watch what he was trying to show you. He assured men that what did they always have?
Provision
everywhere. So even if you were poor, what could you eat? The barley. Because where would barley grow? It wouldn't just grow in fields like wheat. It would be in rocks. It would be everywhere. barley raw. You could cook it. You could do all this stuff to it. But the point was, where was it? So if Jacob was going to school, what would he see? He sees some barley. So what can he do? He could just pluck it and eat it. But if you saw wheat, where was wheat? It was in somebody's field.
Amen.
So I'm needing to see on this journey where I'm going now, I'm always going to have provision. And the provision won't be everywhere, but the provision is going to be common.
Amen.
Let's go a little deeper. Now, Yehuda's tribe is linked to praise. But here's the part people miss. Violent praise. In other words, we would call that exuberant praise. Now, you're going to see something about David that everybody knows, but they never catch the link. Particularly in regards to deliverance. So let's read. Watch again. Let's read about David.
2 Samuel 6:14 through 15. Then David danced and spun around with abandon before Adonai.
Right, stop. What did David do?
He spun around.
With abandon. In other words, how did he really dance?
Crazy.
He cut loose, like people say. Okay, keep going.
Wearing a linen ritual vest. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Adonai with shouting and the sound of the shofar. Amen.
All right, so how does this apply to me? On this journey, my Adonai wants me to abandon my old ways of praising him in favor of more grateful expression.
Amen.
In other words, I can't keep praising him
the same old way.
Because my gratitude creates new expressions.
Amen.
Why? Because Judah's name means to give thanks. So what new perspectives does the Father want me to have this first month? Aviv is not just a month of redemption. It's an appointed time for me to trust in his month of miracles and know he wants to set me on the right course for my future. Two, to step forth in spiritual strength and walk on the path the Spirit presents to me this year. So he wants me to trust. I'm going to get the miracles I need. Know I'm on the right path. Step in strength, and then walk on the path. Now, you're going to learn something about Judah, and you're going to learn something about the kind of people that God's going to step forward this year. First month, what tribe is it?
Judah.
So therefore, you and I got to understand the work that God uses and does first is with people who live like, act like Judah. So let's watch something about Judah. Judah is not just a tribe of royalty, it is a tribe of conquerors. Now, why was Judah such a great conqueror? Two reasons. Yehuda prevailed because they had the most men who would go to war first.
Amen.
So in other words, when the Lord would say, it's time to fight, which tribe had the greatest amount of men who would come?
Judah.
But two, Judah also prevailed because they had the most men who would openly worship Yahweh. How did David worship? How did Daniel worship? How did those folks
openly,
from Judah, their men, openly worship and they didn't care who saw them? What's wrong with a lot of men today? They're not Judah. Oh yeah, you might fight, but you're not Judah if you don't praise.
Amen.
What new truth does my Father want me to embrace about the first month of Aviv? It's my appointed time to prevail.
Amen.
Over long-term distressing circumstances and personal oppressors.
Amen.
I can't go on my journey if I'm still under stress with some stuff.
Yes.
I got to conquer that stuff. Now watch again. What do we mean by, you know, your 2. I'm grateful to delight in this year's fruit because I survived last year's manna.
Amen. Amen.
Conclusion. Let's wrap it up. Aviv is my appointed time to be supernaturally reset, redeemed, and released.
Amen.
See, I can't get reset if I'm still in distressing circumstances. I can't get reset if I still got personal pressures. We got to deal with that stuff. But my Adonai needs to deliver me from some inner pharaohs first to fully accomplish this. See, there's a lot of people that your bondage is not from outside, it's from inside.
Yes.
You got certain thoughts, you got certain habits, you got certain strongholds that they're keeping you in bondage, and you got to get released from them before you can get out there to do what God wants you to do. But here's another thing, though. He will deliver me from some of them in spectacular fashion. Spectacular fashion. Read it. Isaiah 43:2. Let's read it.
When you pass through water, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be scorched. The flame will not burn you.
So here's my question to you, what we talked about before. What did I tell you, a pattern of God? He doesn't deliver you from, he delivers you out of. So here's my question to you. In order for you to pass through the rivers, then he had to have directed you through them.
Amen.
Right. So in other words, I got to go through the river. I got to go through the fire. I got to go through these things, but my Redeemer is also my Deliverer.
Amen.
So for those who are going to be going out first to do things, you got to be totally confident in your Redeemer Deliverer. Because you're going to get overwhelmed at times, but you got to know he's going to deliver me. Yehuda is my appointed example as the worshiper conqueror. Like them, I may lose some battles along the way, but I will never slack off or quit.
Amen.
Let's read.
2 Chronicles 15:7. But you, be strong and don't slack off, for your work will be rewarded. Amen. Amen.